All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, welcome to American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. This is episode 66. What a strange day. It is February 22nd, 2022, and a Tuesday. Let's see how many weird things can happen from this little numerology. You know, I've been seeing quite a few people put up stuff from around the world. I get a lot of kick out of this, and maybe you will too. This is something that someone on Twitter named Danny Darko put up, that on February 2nd, 2022 will be a once in a 248 year event. Pluto is going to conject return to the United States. The last time this happened was on July 4th, 1776, the exact founding day of America. Astrologically, Pluto brings destruction and rebirth, and Rome fell when Pluto returned. We'll see. I don't buy too much into this, but then again, you know, I don't know everything, and I admittedly don't know everything. But there are stranger conspiracies out there, and we are called to watch the signs and the times. Speaking of signs and times, let's get on to today's real event. What's going on with Russia? I think what we're seeing right now with Russia, and I have a few articles to back up my thinkings, is that Russia is doing what Russia does best. It is taking over land by proxy, turning portions of people back to the Soviet Union, so that it can start to eat away at Ukraine and some of these other countries like Belarus and Kazakhstan. They are doing their best to regain old territories and old mineral rights. Lots of mineral rights. Lots of uranium. Lots of oil. All different types of things that are sitting there in the ground waiting for Russia's military-industrial complex in Ukraine alone. And strategically, it makes sense for Russia to do that. Previously, all these things belonged to Russia. And now, obviously, Vladimir Putin, before he finally exhales his last breath, wants to try and regain back the lands that the Soviet Union had. Now, I'm not saying he's trying to rebuild the Soviet Union. Some people are. I don't know. He might be. But what we see is an obvious call for war in Ukraine now. Let's see what happens from this. Myself and many others out there have been saying that, you know, more than likely we're going to see some sort of a false flag, some sort of event happen, and Russia is going to be blamed for it. The West is going to be called in, and more than likely it's going to go kinetic. Right now we see the beginnings of that. And just because I said this would happen and many others said it would happen doesn't make us prophets. It doesn't make us, you know, these extreme military strategists. Anyone with eyes to see and ears to hear understood that eventually Vladimir Putin would make his way into Ukraine, and understands that eventually the U.S. will step in to be a buffer from Vladimir Putin. Well, now it's happened. So, what has happened? Well, if you're not up to date, let's take you back to an article yesterday from the Epoch Times. This article said, Putin considering whether to recognize parts of Ukraine as independent territories. Now, that was yesterday. I never got around to talking about it, but that is what was on the agenda for yesterday. But now, today, Putin has announced that he formally recognizes Luhansk, God, I can't pronounce these things, and Donetsk. This is the troubling thing. is right now, who is doing what in this area? Is the Americans moving up our operational assets, CIA and other things that we use? Are we bringing our manpower into these areas to try and promote a guerrilla war, to try and promote a revolution, to try and gain intelligence and put forth hostile intelligence? More than likely, that's it. That is what we do. All right. Now, are the Russians doing the same thing? Absolutely. They absolutely are. But this is the sneaky thing that happened. Is much like what happened in Syria whenever Russia came to Al-Assad's becking call to protect Syria. We stepped in. And then we had a proxy army called ISIS that at this rate had to have been created by some sort of U.S. affiliation, because it damn sure was funded by it. They damn sure rode around in our helicopters and our military vehicles, had all of our military gear and garb. And Obama was definitely not out there trying to destroy them, not the way that it should have been. However, Russia still met that. And even though we did bomb Russians in Syria, even though Hillary Clinton said when she would become president that the first thing she would do is order a no-fly zone over Syria and knock any Russian MiG out of the sky, starting World War III. And don't forget, Vladimir Putin did say that the option for a first strike on D.C. was there and on the table had Hillary become president. That's how close we got to war. Now this is happening in Ukraine. But there's so many other things that are mysterious that go into this. Obviously, the Bidens have a lot of wealth, a lot of strategic monetary assets that are spread throughout Ukraine that Hunter Biden had his little grubby hands in. And obviously, that's something that they want to protect, their own family wealth. But there's so many more things in there. Once again, you know, this all comes down to money. It doesn't come down to the freedom and safety and security of Ukraine. They don't care about that. Nancy Pelosi doesn't care about that. Nancy Pelosi is worth $300 million. What does she care about anyone's safety and security besides her own? They're there for the mineral resources. They're there for the uranium, the titanium. They're there for the natural gas. They're there for the oil. They're there for the iron ore. There's so many different things that Ukraine has that they're wanting to grab. Now, I think we've talked about this already, but we'll bring it up again. The amount of assets that are there that are, to some, very much worth fighting over. And let's go over it real quick before we go any further. Why does the Ukraine matter to Russia? Okay. Pay attention, folks. This is how the nation ranks based off of mineral resources. It's first in Europe in proven recoverable reserves of uranium ores. Second place in Europe and 10th place in the world in terms of titanium ore reserves. Second place in the world in terms of explored reserves of manganese ores. 2.3 billion tons or 12% of the world's reserves. Second largest iron ore reserves in the world, or 30 billion tons worth. It is second place in Europe in terms of mercury ore reserves. Third place in Europe, 13th place in the world, in shale gas reserves, an estimated 22 trillion cubic meters worth. Fourth in the world by the total value of natural resources. Seventh place in the world in coal reserves, 33.9 billion tons worth. Ukraine is also an agricultural country. It's first place in Europe in terms of arable land. Third place in the world by the area of black soil, 25% of the world's volume of black soil in Ukraine. First place in the world in exports of sunflower and sunflower oil. Second place in the world in barley production and fourth place in barley exports. third largest producer and fourth largest exporter of corn in the world, fourth largest producer of potatoes in the world, fifth largest rye producer in the world, fifth place in the world in bee production, an estimate 75,000 tons worth. Eighth place in the world in wheat exports. Ninth place in the world in the production of chicken eggs. 16th place in the world in cheese exports. Ukraine can meet the food needs of 600 million people. Ukraine is also an industrialized country. It's first place in Europe in ammonia production, second place in Europe's and fourth largest in the world in natural gas pipeline system, 142.5 billion cubic meters of gas throughput capacity in Europe, third largest in Europe and eighth largest in the world in terms of installed capacity of nuclear power plants. Third place in Europe and 11th in the world in terms of railroad network length, 21,700 kilometers worth of railroads. Third place in the world after the U.S. and France in production of locators and locating equipment. Third largest iron ore exporter in the world. Fourth largest exporter of turbines for nuclear power plants in the world. Fourth world's largest manufacturer of rocket launchers. Hey, there you go, kids. Fourth place in the world in clay exports. Fourth place in the world in titanium exports. Eighth place in the world in exports of ores and concentrates. Ninth place in the world in exports of defense industry products. And lastly, 10th largest steel producer in the world, an estimate of 32.4 million tons of steel. So for all you out there who are ignorant of what is the value of Ukraine, you have it. Ukraine is a giant for the military-industrial complex. It is the treasure chest of Europe when it comes to all these available resources. It must be owned by either we in the West or them in the East. Now, if Russia takes part in it, China will have their claws in it as well. Here's the problem, though, is even though Joe Biden today, and we're going to read some of this, even though he just recently announced that they're going to be putting on a lot of very harsh sanctions that are going to hurt Russia very badly monetarily, Russia has almost completely given up the U.S. petrodollar and is starting to completely transfer over their entire currency from ruble to Chinese yuan. So what really is being hurt? And what really are the sanctions doing? They're going to hurt the people of Russia more than they will the oligarchs of Russia. And eventually, when they don't hurt Russia anymore, what really can our sanctions do? And what will be done next? Most likely, based off of my, I guess you could say, years of experience, and really just me staying on top of what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, I would say based off of prior history, Russia will eventually be sending in troops into Ukraine. We know right now, he is sending Russian military troops into these two provinces, these two runaway republics that he has now recognized, and they are there for a peacekeeping mission. Well, the peacekeeping mission is because Russia has claimed that the Ukrainian military has been genociding people from these two areas. There is your mixture of the, quote, false flags, the red flags. Now, within this maelstrom of intelligence, we must do our best to discern what is real and what is fabricated. Now, I'm not saying false. I'm saying fabricated. They will kill people in order to fabricate a lie. They will move assets into the area in order to fabricate fear. They will move assets and military into these two regions, and I do mean Russia, potentially to draw the Western nations into a conflict. That is what our military is saying. That is what our politicians are saying. We have to understand on the flip side of this, that if you go off of the events of the Cold War, if you go off of Operation Northwoods, read that one for yourself. The U.S. is also more than willing and capable of staging false flag attacks upon our own allies and ourselves in order to make it look like Russia is aggressing closer and closer to a war. Who really knows what is going to happen next? Now, if you look on Fox News and General Jack Keane, who says that we're fixing to come into a conflict that we never have before, even during the World Wars and Cold War, we never got into that full nuclear-scale capable war. The ability was out there. Part of it was used on Japan, but not to the scale that we have now. Those bombs, they had to be flown by plane. Now they can be guided by rocket. Now what comes into question is, will our anti-rocket systems, our anti-missile systems, be able to catch these new Russian rockets? I don't know. I really don't know. I know that shutting down the Nord Stream 2 pipeline is going to affect Europe. And eventually, they will have to come to the table, and they will have to agree some way, somehow, to turn that pipeline back on, or they're going to have to restart a whole new pipeline and find a new place to find energy. As green as everything has gone in Europe, Germany and France still get 60 to 70% of their energy from Russia, even though they pay us to protect them from Russia. They pay Russia to give them fuel. It doesn't make sense, but this is geopolitics. Now, friends, I would strongly encourage you do your own research. Educate yourself on what's happening. That way, you're not surprised, and you can understand a little bit of the lingo when you see these politicians speaking about Ukraine and Russia and Europe. It will only make you a more well-rounded American. As Americans, we should be participating in the political world here and there. We should dabble a little bit. That way you understand that there are other things happening around the world that will affect you. Obviously, since this has started, oil prices now, because we're not going to be getting anything from OPEC, are going to start to rise again. That's going to affect you at your bank account, at the gas station. They're already projecting gas could reach $7 a gallon. Who out there listening to this crazy man on this microphone right now can afford a weekly sustained $7 a gallon as you drive back and forth to work? That will force probably some of you to carpool or to have to find another vehicle because you're not going to be able to afford this gas. You know, it's going to affect everybody. And if the gas prices go up, well, the food prices go up. These things go hand in hand. So, your consumption rates for your own energy are going to go up as well. This is going to affect us. I have said this before, and I'll say it again. If we do anything to Russia, they have the ability to affect us here in the United States from either cutting underwater cables that can halt the monetary transfer from Europe to America, and also not just the monetary transfer, but other forms of intelligence that are going back and forth and communication. But they can also hit us with cyber viruses that can take down the banking system, that can affect power grids, that can affect telecommunication. There are all different kinds of little nasty tricks But are we willing to pay for it? Are we willing to stick our big nose, and our big nose being the Democrats' military-industrial complex right now, are we willing to stick our big nose into Russia's business? How is it that the politicians are going to be able to start to backpedal whenever Russia calls them for aggression on our own part? Because they will. Give it time. And we will have our own threat actors that are U.S. affiliates that are going to probably start their own little terrorism campaign. And America will be blamed for something. And then the Russian separatists that are Ukrainian will be blamed for some sort of a genocide or an attack upon the Ukrainian military. Like I said, it's a maelstrom. Anything can happen right now. So, since anything can happen, and we live in this time, please be prepared. I would tell you that if you look at what happened in Canada with the banking system going down recently, you have a very good chance of having the same thing here, which would mean you would have a run on cash, which means you may not be able to get to the ATM in time enough to pull out enough money. So, before all the chaos happens, if you don't have the ability, or if you don't have this yet, go to the ATM, have you a little nest egg, have you some sort of provisions already saved. I would say your safest bet is to keep $1,000 in cash on you. Not on your person, obviously, but in your house. Keep $1,000 worth of cash on you. Have some sort of gold and silver on you, because if the economy tanks, what are you going to do with that cash? It will be used for a little bit, and then, you know, it won't. And you can look back in history, you know, I mean, not too far from history, where in Turkey, just recently, the lira started to tank, and then, you know, people's weekly wages wouldn't buy them bread and milk and eggs. Can this happen to America? Absolutely. Absolutely it can happen. We do not live in this'll never happen to me world. You should plan for this accordingly. Steve Quell. You can visit Steve Quell's website. You can trade in some of your cash that may be worthless in the future, as Dave Hodges always says, and get you a little bit of a nest egg of some gold and silver. I would tell you that if you do purchase gold and silver, the good thing about that is that if you find yourself in an emergency where you have to bug out, you have to travel, you're worried about the economy, as we all should be right now, you can put gold and silver in your pocket, and when need comes, you can take that gold and silver, and then you can exchange it for dollars. All right, it's not hard to do. Or you can take it and do like I do and just sit on it. And just watch your little pile grow and grow and grow. At the end of the day, it is a nest egg. But I will warn you, for everyone out there, if you invest in gold and silver and it's not physically in your hand, you do not own it. Gold and silver cannot be bought and purchased like it's a stock and kept in someone else's safe and say, okay, send me my gold and silver now. Well, I'm sorry, we can't because of COVID. I'm sorry, we can't because of riots. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't because of war. Well, now what do you do? So, if you're going to own gold and silver, then physically own it. Physically own it. We're going to go to our first break, and we'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day, and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quell, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Welcome back. This is America Vindicta. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Biden's announcement today for his sanctions against Russia and his promise to send troops to Baltic states. This article is from the Epoch Times. If you are not subscribed to the Epoch Times, and I do not get paid to say this, if you are not subscribed to the Epoch Times, and you mainly follow, you know, Fox News and CNN, well, you are really missing out on some very good articles, very in-depth, very professional wrote geopolitical articles. And, I mean, it doesn't cost very much. I think it's like $14.95 for, you know, a couple months worth, maybe less than $100 for a whole year's worth of subscription to it. The reason why I like the Epoch Times is because we are promoting, once again, a freedom movement. Not Fox News, not CNN, not people who have sold out to us. You want to know why the Epoch Times is not sold out to us? Because at one of their prints in China, the Chinese communists burned their printing station. I think twice, actually. So when the communists are doing their best to destroy your material, you're probably right over the target. Anyways, that's my little commercial for them. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about what Joe Biden said today. So, President Joe Biden has said that the United States will impose sanctions of Russia, quote, far beyond the ones that is imposed in 2014 following the Russian annexation of the Crimean Peninsula. This is the beginning of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, quotes Joe Biden today. He says, we will continue to escalate sanctions if Russia escalates. Well, more than likely, Russia will continue to escalate. Russia is going to do their best to gain back territory that has the mineral resources that they desperately need. The article goes on to say, Russian elites and their family members will also soon face sanctions, stating that Russia will pay an even steeper price if Moscow decides to push into Ukraine. Two Russian banks and Russian sovereign debt will also be sanctioned. Also in his speech, Biden said he would send more U.S. troops to the Baltic states, to Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, a defensive measure to strengthen NATO's position in the area. Russia shares a border with these Baltic states. Pay attention to this, folks. The more NATO encroaches on Russia, the more we box Russia in, the more aggression will escalate. The more we push Vladimir Putin away from the negotiation table, the more he will align with communist China and all their other various counterparts like Syria and Iran and North Korea and Venezuela and Mexico. Oh, and Canada. Oh, Canada. This is why American geopolitics needs to be observed. Because what we are doing essentially is we are creating the Allies in the Axis from World War II all over again. And just like World War II, a lot of this had to do with money. A lot of it had to do with a new color of revolution. And much like what happened in World War II, with President Putin saying that he is going to be pushing troops into Ukraine, into these two provinces, he's saying that there are ethno-Russians that are there. that need his protection. Well, that's very similar to what Vladimir Putin. It's very similar to what Vladimir Putin is doing compared to what Adolf Hitler also did when Germany pushed into Austria and pushed into parts of Poland. Of course, we know what happened after that. Now, I'm not calling Vladimir Putin Adolf Hitler. I'm just saying that history may not always repeat itself, but it does rhyme from time to time. All right, going back into the article. A day earlier, Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered troops to go into the separatist Donetsk and Luhansk regions in eastern Ukraine after a lengthy speech in which he recognized the two regions' independence. Western powers decried the move and began to levy sanctions on Russian individuals, while Germany announced that it would halt plans to go ahead with the Russia-to-Germany Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Let's see how long that lasts. Now, I, for one, and a few others, along with the man who more or less came up with this, Steve Quayle, I believe that Germany and France will eventually betray our trust within the United States and will align themselves with Russia. Not only does it geopolitically make sense, but economically it does make sense. Even though these are two, quote, Western states, they're both socialist states, which has a lot in common with, you know, Russia and China. I don't know if they will take a hand into the military occupation of Ukraine, but I think they're going to be forced to come to the table with Russia, and they're going to be forced to join Russia, because if Russia cuts off their power, where are they going to get their power from? How are they going to heat all the homes? It will be a question. It will be a Rubicon that the people of Germany and France will end up having to cross. Let's see what that outcome will be. Nothing is set in stone here. In the United States, Biden is facing bipartisan pressure to take more extensive actions against Russia following Putin's decision. However, a recent poll has showed that a majority of Americans believe that sending troops to Ukraine is a bad idea, while a slim majority believe that it's a good one. I don't think it's a good idea. I think America needs to worry about our own borders. I am a little bit of an isolationist. I live like an isolationist, so of course I also believe my country should be a little bit of an isolationist. Not geopolitically, but militarily. We should allow these other countries to take care of their own problems. We can always be the big brother standing in the corner, you know, giving the mean face, but it doesn't mean we need to fight everyone's fight. We do not need to be the world's police. Even though our politicians believe that because they do have their bank accounts enriched with every country we go into. But it is off the bones and the backs and the spilt blood of American soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. Not to mention the government contractors that are most of the time veterans who are there doing the other jobs that the military does not do. I only say that because I've had my hand in these worlds before, both contracting and also as a Marine. Now, I just want to make a difference here in my speculation that if a war starts and Russia starts to attack our troops, then by all means, war is war. We have to answer the call. But I am not a war hawk saying send everything we have to Russia right now and beat them out of Ukraine. I would like to see this done as diplomatically as possible. Maybe there is a negotiation table sitting there somewhere where we can all sit down and agree And maybe Joe Biden is not the man to lead that. Maybe Kamala Harris is not the woman to lead that. Maybe we need someone else to lead that. I think Donald Trump did a very good job with it. But, you know, we're, what, 2 years away from possibly seeing another Trump reign? And that's a possible. A lot of things can happen in 2 years. We know just how quickly a war can wage in 6 months. I still say it's somewhere on the table for war to break out. I am still conspiratorial in my mind when I say that I believe when the midterms start this summer, your gas prices will be close to $6, maybe $7, nationwide. Prices on goods and materials will be higher than they have probably been in decades. We may not have the COVID restrictions, but we'll probably have the protests and the riots. All that because we will be having another midterm election. Democrats will be losing these seats. And there will be a need for many distractions. I call these riots and all these other, the spiking gas price and in goods, they are flashbangs to the economy. They're a distraction device for you so that you don't pay attention to the other things. And while all this is happening, there's still the potential for the war brewing in Ukraine. So, because I have a conspiratorial mind, which doesn't make me crazy, by the way, it makes me be someone who focuses a lot on the what's and the whys and the where's and the how's. I do understand history and I do understand how things come about in war. I do my research. I own plenty of books that I read that tell me to go back into history and to pay attention. I really, really hope that our politicians are doing the same. I really hope that our politicians have it in their best interest not to send young men and women to war so that they can be reelected, so that they can enrich themselves. But I just don't believe it. I believe that is what will happen. Moving on. All 27 European countries unanimously agreed on an initial list of sanctions targeting Russian authorities. According to French Foreign Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian and EU Foreign Affairs Head Joseph Borrell, they both claim that the packages will hurt Russia a lot. Earlier on February 22nd, Joseph Borrell, said Russian troops have already entered the Donbass region, which makes up Donetsk and Luhansk, which have been under the control of pro-Russia groups since 2014. These are the Russian separatists that we have seen that we don't know yes or no if Obama helped fund that or not. Do your research on that one, folks. Also on February 22nd, the Russian parliament approved a Putin-backed plan to use military force outside of Russia's borders, as Vladimir Putin said that Russia confirmed that it would recognize the expanded borders of Luhansk and Donetsk. He said, "We recognized the states. That means we recognized all of their fundamental documents, including the Constitution, where it was written that their borders are the territories at the time the two regions were part of Ukraine." Speaking to reporters on February 22nd, Putin said Ukraine is not interested in peaceful solutions and that every day they are amassing troops on the Donbas. Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky again downplayed on February 22nd today, the prospect of a Russian invasion and proclaimed that there will be no war. I pray he is right. The Ukrainian president said there will not be an all-out war against Ukraine, and there will not be a broad escalation from Russia. If there is, then we will put Ukraine on a war footing. The White House began to signal that they would shift their own position on whether it's the start of an invasion. Oh, God. Here's a quote. "We think this is, yes, the beginning of an invasion. Russia's latest invasion into Ukraine," said John Finer, the White House Deputy National Secretary Advisor, in public remarks. "An invasion is an invasion, and that is what is underway." That's what this guy claims. For weeks, Western governments have been claiming that Moscow would invade its neighbor after Russia gathered roughly 150,000 troops along the country's shared borders. They allege that the Kremlin would attempt to come up with a pretext to attack, with some officials on February 21st that said Putin's speech recognizing the two regions was just that. But Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin told reporters on February 22nd that Russia's latest invasion of Ukraine is threatening stability in the region, but he said Putin can still avoid a full-blown tragic war of choice. That's an ultimatum. Anytime we have given Russia an ultimatum, it has not turned out the way that we wanted it. Russia continuously crossed the red line in Syria. We did nothing about it. Russia is continuing to cross the red line in Ukraine, and we've done nothing about it. So, all the beating of the chests, all the pounding on the drums, we still haven't done what we said. I like to think about this sometimes. What would Trump have done? Would Trump have called the bluff and moved troops in? Would Trump have called Putin and had a frank man-to-man conversation? Maybe he could have promised to build more Trump towers throughout Russia, bringing in more revenue. Look, I'm a bit skeptical of both parties. I did like Trump. I did support almost everything that he did. Not everything, but almost everything. But we don't have Trump now. And for everyone who keeps saying, what would Trump do if only Trump was here? Understand this. Do not think that it's not on the table still for Kamala and Joe to be replaced by somebody else if we go to war. Joe is still failing in his health and his mental awareness. Kamala is, well, a mess. She is a political hot mess and an embarrassment. This woman will not be given the robes of power. Someone else will, though. But who? Surely not Nancy the Drunk Pelosi. Who else is out there? Could it be Hillary? We've seen the provocation for arrest for Hillary again, and for possibly many of her associates within the Democratic and even Republican Party. We know that there are certain agencies who levied their usefulness against President Trump for almost 4 years. What will be done of that? There are many things sitting here within this maelstrom. But what will go down first? Will it be Russia and Ukraine in a war? Will it be our economy? Will it be a false flag? A false flag here in the United States when the Freedom Convoy starts? Because right now, the Freedom Convoy is set to be in D.C. on March 1st when Joe Biden addresses the nation. Will we see a January 6th for the State of the Union? Who knows? These are all speculations. One thing is for certain, though. It's not going to be quiet. They never let a good crisis go to waste. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
And welcome back. This is American Vindicta. So before we close the show, I want to say something to all my fellow law enforcement officers out there. Now, I am previously retired of law enforcement, so I can say this. You have two options. As we look in Canada, we see two options that are being presented to the people. You have the option of morality, which is doing right, regardless of what you are told. And then you have the option of obedience, doing what you are told regardless of what is right or wrong. To all the law enforcement officers in Canada, the world is watching you. Your fellow citizens are watching you. Your children are watching you. How will you be remembered in history? I do fear for the good people of Canada. Your government has gone completely awry. And I hope very much that your parliament can screw their heads on straight. But we will have to wait and see. I think something that is interesting is that so many law enforcement agencies across the United States and Canada, when the BLM and Antifa riots were happening and churches were burning down, historical statues were being destroyed, people were being threatened and intimidated by small groups of vandals and extremists. We watched many law enforcement agencies and the heads of our state ignore the takeover of communists. It was an onslaught that was brought on by groups that are very reminiscent to Adolf Hitler's stormtroopers, the brown shirts. And I know that my agency, at least whenever we were deployed elsewhere, this is what was interesting, is that when you tried to attack a federal building, me and my friends did not allow it. And there's some pretty good videos on YouTube of us and operating in Portland. But here's what's interesting. I was recently watching one of the videos, and we are much more aggressive and much more forceful than Canada's police, the Canadian police, but we were being pelted with frozen fruits and vegetables, which are as dense as rocks. We were being pelted by soup cans, broken glass, throwing bottles at us, using very high-powered lasers that were blinding us, that actually damaged the retina of some of our officers' eyes. We had agents that were taking down people that were concealing weapons. And upon finding these weapons, we found out that they were hiding even more weapons in the crowds behind all of their trench coats and all of their umbrellas that they would love to go out there and use. And one thing was for sure, that when we were out there, violence begat violence. If you came out there and were violent towards us, well, we were more violent towards you. But we had a level of control throughout all the hundreds of use of force events that we had. I don't think one of them have ended up in a lawsuit yet, because we were controlled, led by morality, and our obedience was to the law and the Constitution. We let people protest. We let them stretch the bounds of how they could protest. But when you started to destroy anything, well, then they got to meet us and my team. Now, if you consider what we did in Portland and elsewhere, and then you take a look at what has happened recently in Ottawa, we were fighting against a group that the Congress would not dare label a domestic terrorist, even though that is exactly what they were. Millions, probably $1 billion worth of damage in 1 year by this group and their affiliates. Nothing was happened. Nothing happened to them. For every felony, every felonious crime they committed that we arrested, they were immediately released back onto the street for us to fight them again. Take a look in Canada, though. These people were on their knees praying. They were singing songs of solidarity, singing their own beautiful national anthem in front of the law enforcement line. And still were batoned, were beaten, were trampled. And I understand. See, being in that world before, I understand that when something is declared a riotous situation, I understand that when something is declared an unlawful assembly and we in law enforcement have to take back over a street or a domain, then when we tell you to move, it's not a suggestion, it's an order. You should move. If you don't move, then you will be moved. Now, once again, when we did it, we were fighting against people who were burning the American flag, who were attempting to actually hurt law enforcement and civilians and damage federal buildings, much like what they claim happened on January 6th at the Capitol. But it happened for an entire year. Upon cities, sieges were laid. But in Ottawa, where was the violence? Where is the vitriol for the violence? Where's the proof? You may have arrested one or two crazy people, but there was no violence, not a rock thrown, barely a curse word used. Law enforcement officers of Canada, you are walking a very thin blue line, and I'm going to remind you of that. In law enforcement, we do the very dirty deed of working in the gray zone against sometimes the people that are on the left and the right. Sometimes they hate us one day and then they love us the next day. But remember this, your morality of doing what is right is also doing what is right for your country. And your government has turned tyrannical. You had the option, and still have the option, not to obey these directives. If you want to make a difference, stand in solidarity with the people of Canada. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I want to end tonight with a quote. And this is from Ayn Rand. She said, "There is no difference between communism and socialism, except in the means of achieving the same ultimate end. Communism proposes to enslave men by force. Socialism by vote. It is merely the difference between murder and suicide." That's all I have for you tonight. Please stay tuned. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm Doug Thornton. Out.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." End of transmission.